Well, first of all, I just have to say congratulations.
Oh, thank you. I did finally play the Mass Effect 3 demo.
Wait.
Yeah.
Oh, how was it? No. We're getting off. You had a baby.
Yeah. Whoa.
Well,
that was.
I guess probably your wife, but yes. Yeah. You were involved.
Yeah. Yeah. Extra life get. Right.
Exactly. I never really thought about it that way.
Right.
You got an extra man.
Yep. Extra man. Yep. Literally, because I had a boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations about that. I can't believe we're podcasting. You just had your kid like 2 days ago.
Yeah, it's true, but mom is watching him now. I'm officially actually on the knock shift to watch him, but you know, she's doing something that I can't help him with right now. So
multiplication.
Yes. I'm bad at math.
Anyway.
Yeah, so it was actually a kind of a surprise because he wasn't due for 3 more weeks, but my wife's lab work looked a little interesting to the doctor, so they wanted to induce. Yep. So we were actually going to go to one of my cousin's basketball games that night, and she calls me and says, "Oh, guess what? We're gonna can't go to that basketball game because we're having a baby." And I'm like, "Oh."
Exchanging so, one form of dribbling for another.
Nicely done. Nicely done. Yeah, so
Thank you.
It's been an interesting couple of days. Just came home today.
Yeah.
for the first time, and that was pretty exciting. Getting everything situated today, and then there just came a point where it's like, all right, baby's asleep. I'm still awake. What to do now? Let's do a podcast.
Well, there you go. That's dedication. That's dedication right there. But I mean, it's going to be kind of rough these first few weeks.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Like, this is your first night home.
This is our first night back home. I'm off work all week to help.
I love that. I just got an email from you like a few hours before this saying, well, Now, before the baby comes, we've got to get some work done, get some episodes filmed, because I got the time now. And I'm like, my daughter was also almost 3 weeks early. So, well, no, about 2 weeks early, but yeah.
Oh goodness.
Like, you can't, you know, when the baby wants out.
Yeah. We put together this whole plan, to get a whole bunch of videos done. We're going to try and release a whole bunch at once by like actually working them ahead of time and then just like doing them one after another until they're all out.
Yeah.
I thought, well, you know, I'm going to be home these next few weekends, nowhere to go because we're going to be on baby watch, and I'll just have all this time to work on things. Nope. That's
okay. You'll eventually start incorporating your kid into videos like I did.
I have no idea what you mean. Yeah, so actually, I wanted on Friday I had intended to release one a vlog about getting the baby room cleared out because that was the Famicom Dojo / That's Orange Studio for the last 3 years, so we had to like kind of move it out, and it was going to be like, you know, a 100 video celebration for the channel as well on YouTube, you know, again, the best laid plans. So.
I still don't see why you had to change the room at all. You could have just put a crib in it.
That was my argument, but
you know, I mean, the kid will grow up going, wow, you know, oh, so you grew up in a room with teddy bears and balloons. I grew up in one that was a recording studio. Now, who's cooler?
Right. I mean, and filled with like, you know, classic 8 and 16-bit retro games and consoles as well.
Oh dear! I have to give the edge to the teddy bears now.
pretty. No, well, it's pretty much from every generation. Even my my non slim Xbox is in there, or it was in there at the time.
Yeah.
Although funny story, so my brother-in-law and his wife and their son came down to see us over the weekend, and they stayed at our place because they live a few hours away.
Okay.
But when they came over, of course, you know, all my stuff is in like the main living area now, which if anyone watched us recording the last two podcasts ago live,
yeah.
you can kind of see it in the video there. But so there's like, you know, Sean, I found your classic NES and had to figure out how to unhook it from this Chrome device. I was like, oh yeah, that's my video capture device. And he's like, yep, but I figured that out. And we played some Super Mario Brothers. And I was like, oh, cool. So that's fine. It's like, yep. I tried to play some Battletoads, but it just came up gray. It's like, oh, yeah, I had some isopropyl alcohol. You could use it if you wanted. You should have just called me. He's like, no. But it was fun because it's actually, there's some young to play video games right now. He's not even 2 years old. So it was just him and his wife playing Mario Brothers, drinking grape soda, and eating Doritos. So they had a really great night, apparently.
Whoa. Throwback.
Right? So I was like, yeah. Yeah, I think this stuff's meant to be played. It's not like we have a museum here. Like, you just like put all the games behind like glass or whatever, and you can't touch it. I hope and pray that my wife will let me have our kid play these video games.
It was, as I said, it wasn't a choice in mind. Like yesterday.
Yeah.
Like my daughter loves watching DVDs, and she knows where the DVDs are. And she always brings me a DVD, and she's like, this one, you know, because she's talking now. Yeah. So she's like, this one. And the other day she brought me Mario Kart Wii. And I tried to explain to her that it wasn't a DVD.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, let's put one of your Sesame Street DVDs in. And she's like, Mario, because, yeah, she's my daughter, so she knows Mario. She's like, Mario DVD. And I said, well, it's not. You know, it's not a DVD. And she tried to put it in the DVD player. And she's like, she's just pointing at it, and she's like, Daddy, fix it, you know? And I'm like, well, whatever. So I like put in the Wii.
Right.
And put it on the screen, and she watched the opening video. And I played around, and she watched, and she was yelling at the TV. She's like, go. I don't know if she understands the concept that it is an interactive media,
sure.
You know?
Sure.
But she was enjoying watching the race, so.
Well, that's fun.
And then she saw that I was not just passively watching, and she had the remote, and she picked it out of my hands and crashed instantly. But there's no way I'll be able to prevent this girl from getting into video games.
I'm sorry. She's going to be a lost cause. I mean, a wonderful, wonderful addition to the gaming family.
I was trying to, you know, because like she's so young. I don't want her brain to turn to mush. You know, I didn't start playing video games till I was like eight years old, maybe.
I read some like story recently about how like watching TV and not playing video games necessarily, just like watching TV helps prevent certain vision problems.
Yeah, I like studies like that. There should be more studies like that.
Yeah.
But anyway, well, yeah, it's wow, you're back. Like, I didn't have the child at my house until like, oh, I don't know, more than a month after she was born.
Oh, really? Wow, that's a long time.
Well, it's not so much in Japan. It's kind of just a different system.
Okay.
Like, you stayed right at the hospital, right?
Yeah.
And you and your wife were there for 2 days? Two nights?
Not including when he was born. 2 more days after that, yeah.
It's really short.
Yeah, it used to be longer, about 5 days, but nowhere near a month. Wow.
Well, my child wasn't at the hospital for a month, but it was like 6 or 7 days. And that's pretty normal for Japan. They keep you there and basically like pamper the mother and get her ready, you know, because having a baby is a, I don't know, I hear it's a kind of exhausting process.
Yeah, I was there, so I didn't like go through it myself, but I was certainly involved.
Yeah.
I did not get much sleep that night.
Well, exactly. But I mean, it takes a while, I mean, not just the tiredness, but I mean, just for the body to, you know, kind of recover and things like that, and to emotionally get you ready to go home. They really kind of, I guess in Europe it's even worse. They're often only there overnight and then out the door.
Oh wow.
I don't know, that's what I heard from a British friend of mine, and I don't know if it's like that everywhere, but either way, like I was very happy with. The hospital in Japan that my wife gave birth in was like, you know, a baby birthing hospital.
Okay.
Like it had no other purpose. And the hotel. Yeah, see? That's how nice it was. I said the hotel unconsciously because the rooms were really, really nice.
Right.
But fathers can't stay overnight there.
What? No.
Visiting hours went till 9 p.m.
Oh. That's terrible.
I don't know. Like, it's my first time to give birth, and I don't really remember when I was born. So I didn't actually know fathers did stay overnight until I talked with some of my friends.
Oh, well, I guess the stereotypical image is like, you know, it's some guy in like a business suit, his tie like frantically loosened as he like clutches his hair and smokes a cigar in the hallway or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then like in every movie you've ever seen, like you just like go to like the nursery window and like, that's my baby.
Yep.
Not so much for us. And I don't know if it's partly because things have just changed since then or... because of the hospital we were at, but they had a huge emphasis on like making sure that like the baby was with the mother right away, like, you know, unless there was something actually wrong, like they weren't breathing, yeah, or they were like born premature or a C-section, they, yeah, actually would like just like put them on the mom's chest right away and then get him cleaned up after like a couple minutes after they get a little chance to bond, and then so that was really nice.
Yeah they did that there too. Like the baby was born, like, shown with mother. And they took a picture of us, like, the three of us together.
A picture?
Yeah, like a Polaroid. Like, right when we... And I, like, my wife had just given birth to a baby. I'm just seeing my baby for the first time. The baby's just seeing everything for the first time,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And none of us came out super well in that photo.
Oh, man.
Then they gave the baby a little bath.
Yeah, yeah, yep.
Like they pulled it away, gave it a little bath, not totally, didn't, you know,
yeah,
and then handed it to my wife, and she held it for a little while. Then they weighed it, and then, gosh, it's all kind of a blur, to tell you the truth.
Oh, it's still kind of fresh in my mind, obviously, having only been like 3 days ago now.
Yeah.
But one thing that I had heard about, but I didn't expect,
yeah,
like to really understand the full weight of it, was like when babies are like, you know, really small, they're covered in this white stuff called vernix.
Helps
their skin not get wrinkly in the womb.
And
you know, if he had been cooking for 3 more weeks, he wouldn't have come out with so much on him. But like he was just covered in this stuff, and I was like, oh, alien babies. Had to wipe him down first.
Like,
but
it's like purple with like dried flour on them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, oh wow. So that was. But it was. That was the first moment. It's like, oh my gosh, he's real. That's amazing.
My daughter was beautiful, but she came out looking like an old man. Like,
my son's hairline right now kind of reminds me of like, I can see what he looks like when he's going to be 45. You know, basically. I'm pretty sure I have a pretty good idea. But yeah, so afterwards, they keep us in this birthing suite for 2 hours, and you mentioned a hotel. It's like, there's like a couch in this thing.
Yeah.
It's pretty big. It's like enough room for the doctors to work once, everything's got to get going, but they have all kinds of stuff for like, you know, the mom. So like they can like sit in the tub if they want to. There's like a birthing ball. There's like a table that transforms and like can bring up a bar, can try different positions to just get through labor and stuff. It's crazy. And then like after a couple of hours of that, after the baby's born, so I mean, nothing's wrong, you know, they just send you up to the recovery suite, and that is pretty much a glorified hotel room.
Yeah.
As well. And so we were there for 2 days. Mom got to eat anything she wanted at any time as part of the room charge. Dad,
yep.
while he got to stay there, had to pay for all of his own food. Oh, well. But one of the coolest thing about this particular hospital was they actually had a double bed. So I got to stay in a bed.
That's very nice.
So... it was not what I was expecting, but we got to take a tour of the hospital beforehand, and I was like, we need to keep this place. And actually, this is how different things are in the States. I'm not sure how it works in Japan or Europe, for that matter. But we were on my wife's insurance because of the way my job situation was. I was starting my own business last year and didn't have my insurance anymore, so we were on hers, and then they changed theirs the first of the year. so we didn't have our hospital or our doctors anymore. And like, and instead of our third trimester, it's like, let's forget this. So we got the, unfortunately, slightly more expensive plan so we could keep our hospital, keep our doctor all the way through the entire process. And, you know, we had toured this place. We had set up all the appointments. And it's like, you know, we're keeping this. So, you know, I'm guessing that other countries is not so much an issue.
Well, it's, Japan's kind of universal healthcare.
Right. So, darn communists.
You know, you pay... Yeah. Which, you know, I've had my problems with in the past. Like, when I actually was sick and needed to see a doctor, I'd have to wait, like, an hour and a half or something in a waiting room. Or you know, how a lot of it's just like, oh, you're sick. Here's a bunch of antibiotics. Take them till you feel better. And I'm like, do you want to do any tests first? Or, you know, nah, just take these. You know?
I remember when you were riding your bike and got hit by that car and were dripping blood under your admission form.
Oh, yeah, that was a lot of fun. You know what? I think I have an audio recording of that. We should just, like, use that as an audio bonus if anyone wants to hear about my experience with the Japanese medical system.
Yep, yeah. Audio bonus. Got it.
I think the name of the cast is Vink Gets Pwned by a Car. Yeah. I've got an MP3 of that somewhere.
So. Awesome.
The quality's not great, but
that's
neither,
okay.
neither is the writing.
neither is the experience. It's a little fun, at least the way you tell it.
So if you want to hear that, please go to the show notes on the website. It won't be available on the podcast feed, just the website.
It is a clever ploy to get you to go to the website, but there's plenty of other wonderful reasons to go there.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll be able to think of some. Anyway.
You showed me this game that I didn't even know existed.
Oh, yeah.
And it's... why don't you just talk about it? Because I can't even believe it.
we got a great comment about this game that I've never heard of, but now can't get out of my mind. The game is called Babysitting Mama. Now, I actually mentioned Babysitting Mama fairly recently when I was listing off all the, like, Mama game, you know, Mama series games. But, like, I heard Babysitting Mama, and I figured it was like the other ones, you know?
Sure.
You know, kind of a, I don't know, time management game or something. But then our wonderful frequent listener and commenter, Daniel Hathcock, posted a little photo with his comment. It showed the box for the game, and it's a doll. It's like a little kind of, I don't know, androgynous baby doll.
Okay.
And I guess you slip your controller into the baby, which is already sounding horrible, horrible. And you have to take care of this kid. So I'm like, apparently, Daniel's being forced to, maybe not forced, but...
right.
Well, it says his wife made him feel like he had to buy that creature to get ready for their own child.
I see.
So I went and I looked for a video of this game, and the video quality is not great, but we'll link that video.
Yeah.
It's a little girl playing this game, and gosh, you have the controller in this thing, and you have to, like, soothe and comfort the baby. I'm reminded a little bit about Mommy Tummy.
Yeah. That video took at a Tokyo Game Show from the Kanagawa Institute of Technology.
Yeah, when I had to pat my tummy and go yush 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 or whatever, you know, to make the baby calm down. But in this way, you, like, rock the baby back in. You know, the Wii controller without Motion Plus is not intensely precise, so you got to do a kind of full range of motion to calm the baby. And just looking at this girl playing this game, she's getting it right to the game, but she's shaking that kid. And I'm like, oh no.
I don't remember which bit it was, but like later on, she's like, oh, I don't like that part. You know, just.
Yeah. But I mean, you obviously a real baby is going to feel a lot different, and, yeah. and it's good for kids to learn to like take care of a baby. Actually, the more disturbing thing about that game is I've never heard Cooking Mama speak before.
Oh right.
Did you notice that?
Yeah, it's like she sounded like she was speaking like broken Japanese accented English or something. It was really strange.
The grammar seemed to be okay, but she had a definite like this is a Japanese game. People like anime. We should find like a Japanese woman to say all of these things to be Mama's voice. But it was like oh, wonderful! You know?
Yeah, I was like that's weird.
Yeah, I like unless that was like it was originally like a Japanese game that their gimmick was that they had it in English and it was like subtitled in the Japanese version. Maybe that's okay then.
That would make more sense.
But like if they actually purposely went, we want someone who sounds really Asian. You know? I don't know how I feel about it, but
it is very anime style. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, it looks like a pretty interesting game. I can't think of any reason I'd get it.
Yeah, so lest I forget, I wanted to thank everyone on Facebook and Twitter and everywhere else for first being patient with the late release of the last episode of the podcast because he was literally born at the time that I would have been editing and putting it up.
No excuses.
As you told me after the fact, you have Skype in your phone.
Yeah, exactly. You have Skype on your phone. Come on. Is the baby born right now?
No. I mean, let's do this. No. But once I announced what was going on, there was like just this wonderful flood of like, you know, well wishes and support from all the listeners and viewers and friends and everyone. So thank you. I probably should have started the show with that, but here we are 20 minutes in or so and finally getting around to it.
That's all right. I still haven't finished my story. Because speaking of late releases.
Yeah.
My baby didn't come home for more than a month.
Yes.
How could this be?
I've been wondering that myself. She still in beta?
Yeah. But, I mean, so I was at the hospital for about 4 days. No, sorry, 6-7 days. Well, it's hard to put it all together. But she did have to stay a little bit longer because... Like a lot of babies, I don't know, it's pretty common. She had a bit of jaundice.
Oh, yeah, yep.
Yeah, she was born early, so her skin was slightly yellowed, I guess,
mm-hmm.
whatever, and that's not a racial thing.
Yeah, insert Japanese joke here.
Exactly, being half Japanese, but no, and like the whites of her eyes had yellowed. To it,
mm-hmm.
So she didn't get to spend as much time with mom during those first days as I would have liked because she had to be under like this special light.
Yep.
And yeah, I hear it's like I don't know, one out of every five babies, you know. So I mean, no one was concerned at all, but like I couldn't stay overnight there, and I was also working that week.
Right.
Because Japan doesn't have the concept of paternity leave.
Yeah, who's gonna pay for the kid?
Yeah, exactly. So I was going to work, and then I'd come to visit, and I'd always come at the wrong time. I'd always be like, I'd get there, and Sarah was in her light therapy or something.
Yeah.
So I didn't. So it was hard to see my, you know, just to see my baby that first week, and then this is something that I was not anticipating before the baby was born. Because we don't have anything really like it in America, but like it's customary that after the baby is born, that it does the child doesn't go right to the house.
Oh, really?
My wife moved in with my mother-in-law for a month.
What? Okay, I haven't heard of this.
And I've talked to a lot of my Japanese friends, and they're like, "Well, of course, that's how we do things," you know.
Huh.
You know, just to make sure my wife wasn't making it up or something. You know?
I suppose, yeah.
Yes, we do these things in Japan. Go away. You know? But I guess it's because usually, because there is no paternity leave, so there's no, you know, there's no father to help out.
Right.
The mother's tired, and, you know, and often a new mother, you know, they don't go to the parenting classes and stuff, so they don't actually know how to take care of a kid, you know. A lot of it comes naturally, but some of it, you know, needs a bit of explanation.
Right, and it's like, as I was finding out, trying to let my wife sleep after he was born, taking these nighttime shifts as I've been doing, you know, the kid like gets cold or just wants someone to touch him and or just needs to eat like every 2 hours or so, and it's like you can't do anything else really unless you have someone to help you. So I totally understand that now.
So it was strange for me. I mean, it does make sense. And sometimes in America, I think a parent will move in for a little while.
Yeah. Yep.
To help out when a baby's born. But this is a bit different. But like now, it's the mother on her home turf.
Right. Right.
Taking care of the daughter. And of course, my parents couldn't do it.
Right. Being on the other side of the planet. Yeah.
Yeah. So she moved in there, and after work, I just come over to that house and stay until fairly late, until my wife went to sleep. And then I'd go back to my house alone, going, wow, I'm a dad. Probably.
Was it real?
It became a lot more real once she finally came home.
Yeah.
You know, once. But, you know, oh, those first couple days are really interesting. Does your child look at you very much, or is eyes mostly closed?
He does spend quite a bit of time sleeping, but since I had plenty of time with him on my own, and he, you know, finally wakes up and needs to eat or something like that, he'll be pretty awake and like be looking around, and it's pretty amazing.
I know, like it's hard for me. Like Sarah's so active right now and gets into everything. It's hard for me to remember that time when she was so helpless and, you know, didn't really do anything. Where if you put them down somewhere, they would stay there.
Right. Yeah, they encourage us to wrap them up in a certain way to keep their arms kind of stationary so they don't like start themselves waking up or whatever.
Yeah.
And also reminds them of being in the womb because they're very constricted in there. So it calms them down right away too. So it's something I've been practicing the last few days, like basically wrapping up like a little burrito. And
are you swaddling the child?
Yes, I am. I am officially swaddling.
Hooray!
Yes,
my daughter did not like to be swaddled. Like some kids love really. It; they feel it's comforting. But my daughter would be like, "Get me out of here!"
Not surprising from what I know of her. So
yeah. Although, surprisingly enough, for that Famicom Dojo video, she did let me put her in a box.
Oh, man, I can't wait to, exploit my child for financial gain.
Don't worry, we don't make any money.
Oh, yeah. Oh, fair enough. All right.
Just exploiting your child for fun.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Oh, but I, you know, it's like, does this, babysitting mama even do swaddling? Because that's kind of a difficult skill to master. I tell you what, I would have loved some practice beforehand.
I don't know. I only saw the like baby shaking simulator and like I guess you're supposed to use the nunchuck controller as like a rattle to entertain the baby.
Interesting. Okay.
My baby was never entertained by rattles. She wanted like my iPhone.
Right. Oh, dear. I can see where this is going.
Yeah. But, you know, babies are, like, such a big part of the human experience and of existence in general.
Right.
That you'd think that, like, unlike, you know, every other part of human existence is definitely a part of video games. Have you noticed that, like, okay, try to think of famous babies in video games or babies in video games in general. I think the list is pretty short.
Yeah, does baby Mario count?
Like I guess, but yeah. did that really
was he famous as a baby or because like is Mario as a baby? Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't really count.
Like I hated baby Mario though.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like who wants to hear a child cry? all the time.
It was yeah, because if anything happened badly in the game, you know, it was that really annoying that now you're gonna say, well, you have a baby, they do that.
they do that, and I did say do in regards to a baby. Laugh it up, fuzzballs.
Woohoo! But I don't know, like, there's something. It's actually, oh, this is going to sound horrible, but I've actually found that it's easier to comfort my own baby than to make baby Mario stop crying.
Yeah, like, is it some kind of, like, weird training, like, okay, don't screw up again, we're going to have this crying baby at you, because it is, you know, that sound is designed to make people sit up and take notice, like, something's really wrong, I can't do anything about it myself, please come check on me, kind of thing.
It is unfortunate, because that game in general is a really fun
game.
And it has really good music too, which I would often turn off because I didn't want to hear Mario crying.
Although small anecdote. Usually when someone else's kid making a big fuss and noise, I can't stand it.
Yep.
And I was really worried I wouldn't be able to stand my own kid doing it, but I find I'm largely, I don't want to say oblivious to it, because it's not like it doesn't concern me. It's just that. My reaction isn't so much to, like, make it stop as I know something's wrong, and especially when you're in this hospital setting where you can't do anything about it. But, you know, I'm just like practicing, like, the ability to be calming, and it's not frustrating me to hear it. I'm just like, all right, this is my job now to make this right. So I don't like to hear it, but it's not like I'm, like, aggravated by it. I'm just like, all right, it's dad time now. And, so it's, like, totally different hearing that. I can see what people who's, like, kids, like, scream and holler or whatever and, like, the store might be embarrassing, but it doesn't bother the parents, I imagine, now the same way as it does the onlookers
it's
or
true.
Bystanders, well, because they're used to it.
Here's something you're going to notice really quick.
Yeah.
When a baby's, like, freaking out in a store,
mm-hmm.
like, it used to be, like, why did the parents take the kid to the store?
Right.
Don't they know any better?
Right.
But now I'm like, the parents just want to get some milk.
Yeah. It's like, what? You can't just leave them at home. What are you going to do?
Exactly, you know, and you feel you have a lot more compassion for that when you have a kid of your own. In fact, mm-hmm. I love it when I see a kid, like, barreling through the store, because I'm like, oh, thank God it's not just my kid. you know? It's like, you know, you see it and it makes you feel better.
Yeah.
It's like, man, if you go to a wedding wearing a Bermuda shirt and shorts. And you're like, oh, perhaps I should have dressed better. But there's another guy wearing a Bermuda shirt and shorts, and you're like, okay, that's better.
That
true story. No, not at all.
Let's see.
But yeah, babies had rap in video games. I got to say, because, like, baby Mario, like,
not a positive experience.
Like, it's like the goal of, like, the main message of that game is Yoshi would have been. Had it not been for that baby. I could, like, thinking of babies in video games, I thought of one game. You probably haven't played this game.
Okay.
I don't think a lot of people did. I probably wouldn't have had the video store that I used to rent, the supermarket that I used to rent video games from. Didn't really care if they were licensed titles or not.
Mm-hmm.
But this game was called Baby Boomer. And no, it's not about 50-something people who are now nearing retirement.
Right. Okay.
It is in fact a light gun game starring a baby.
Like for the Famicom?
Yeah.
What?
Well, the NES. Yeah. It came on like a. This will sound funny, but I'll just say Sky Blue, because Baby Blue sounds funny in this context. But a Sky Blue cartridge. And that was kind of shaped differently because, you know, it was reverse engineered to work with the Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it wasn't a pirate cart in the way of other pirate carts, which are often, like, you know, illegal carts.
Right.
This one wasn't illegal. It was just unlicensed.
What was the difference?
Well, if it, like, a pirate cart often copies games that manufacturer owns no rights to distribute.
Gotcha.
But an unlicensed game means they did not get permission from the Nintendo to put the Nintendo seal of quality, and they didn't have them manufactured by Nintendo.
Right.
But it, you know, it was completely original content.
Okay, gotcha.
So they were legal to sell, but like you would see no coverage of them in like Nintendo Power, or because Nintendo didn't make any money off of these games.
Right.
So yeah, unlicensed but not illegal. It's kind of like homebrew stuff.
Sure, right.
Like the manufacturer would prefer it if you didn't run that stuff, but if you're not copying games, you know, like stealing games, it's not technically illegal. That makes sense.
Yeah, and it's like they try these scare tactics too of like, well, you know, since these aren't licensed, they could potentially damage your system because the ohms and whatever aren't compatible with the blah 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 blah. Yeah.
This company is called Color Dreams, and they were, I think, one of the first companies that released unlicensed Nintendo titles.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually got them into stores, which is, you know, wow. Unlike credit cards, which wouldn't have been sold. You know, you can go to KB. Does that exist anymore?
No. In the States, it doesn't anymore, no.
No. Toys R Us?
Yep.
That's still around. Okay.
Okay.
But you could go to one of these toy stores and you could find these games.
Yep.
They were pretty successful in bringing them out, but not successful enough that they could really make a go of it. You know, they released that game. I remember one called there was one like where you tried to kill Saddam Hussein.
What?
Yeah, it really was. Yeah, it was like, gosh, it was kind of like Operation. It was a playoff Desert Storm, I know.
Right, right.
Well, but you know, they had one about an incubator, but the one I'm talking about right now, yeah, is Baby Boomer.
Okay, but it was like a light gun game, right? So do you shoot babies? What?
No. Well, maybe inadvertently, occasionally, but no. What? I mean, the name of the game was Operation Secret Storm.
Okay.
The Saddam Hussein game.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I mean, again, like they probably, you know, they made enough money to release a lot of games actually, which are all actually in the public domain right now.
Okay, but what about this not baby shooting game? What?
you know, you mentioned babies and guns and storytelling just goes out the window.
I imagine.
Okay, we'll get to Baby Boomer then. It was a light gun game where you have a baby who's crawling. Did you ever see the movie Baby's Day Out?
I saw Look Who's Talking.
Baby's Day Out was a baby like escapes from the house and is crawling, and like I don't know, crawls through like a construction site. And
oh, was this that Tom and Jerry cartoon?
They made one kind of like that. Yeah.
Okay.
But Baby's Day Out was a full length movie.
Okay.
I don't know. It's a pretty bad movie actually. But you know, it was the baby constantly avoiding mayhem.
Right.
And the game plays like that, except unless you use the light gun to like destroy enemies that are in the path or like knock down bridges or things for the baby to keep crawling,
okay.
It would fall in poles or get burned Oh my gosh. This is a horrible, horrible game.
Oh no! The premise doesn't sound so bad, but yeah, the price of failure is
the
potentially gaunt wrenching.
Is dead baby? Yeah, and that's you know.
Starting to see why there aren't so many baby games. That's terrible.
Well, I think that's really it. I mean, that really is it. Is that's why we don't see games with babies in them, because yeah, the price of failure is too high. You know, if you're the main character and you die in a game, we've come to accept that that's just going to happen in
right,
games.
Right.
And so we've learned from Final Fantasy VII and other things that maybe the girlfriend or the main female hero of the game will also die in a tragic way. But
ugh.
But like when a game takes out a kid,
right?
That's serious,
right? It's not so good.
What games have even done that? I mean, there's ones that implied like the family died in a fire or something, but like,
oh.
One that actually it introduced the character and then killed it off. Does that happen very often?
Yeah, it doesn't happen often, but actually if anyone's played the Mass Effect 3 demo, spoilers. Okay, so this just came out last week. The one we played, or the one I played at Tokyo Game Show, was this section about, oh man, this is about babies too. Oh, this is terrible. Okay, so the section that we played at Tokyo Game Show was about trying to get this female Krogan to safety. And the reason that this is important is because the Krogans are a species that breed very, very quickly. They're highly aggressive but highly intelligent, and they could take over the galaxy. Like Klingons look kind of like shrimp. Anyway, never mind. In order to stop this from happening, once they were bred to wipe out this insectoid race, they were given a genetic disease that, like, only one out of every 100 babies born would actually survive. Like, the rest were all stillbirths. So it just, like, it was like a backdoor genocide kind of thing, and that's like a huge part of the Mass Effect mythos. So, yeah, that's horrible to begin with. Wow. You don't see it happen. You just hear it talked about a lot by other characters. And it's a huge plot point in Mass Effect 2 as well, like rather directly. So that apparently appears to be part of Mass Effect 3 as well. But more direct than that, there was one demo from E3 where the Reapers come to invade Earth, spoiler. And Commander Shepard sees this kid hiding like in some ventilation and stuff, and Shepard's like, come on, you know, it's okay, we'll save you. And he's like, no, you can't do anything to help me, and the kid's gone. And so, like, later on, once Shepard gets to safety, he or she sees the kid boarding a shuttle. It's like, yeah, he's gonna get away. And then of course the Reapers shoot it down, and it's like, you know, oh, you know, motivation to destroy evil Reapers. It's a little ham-fisted, it's a little much, but I think it pretty well demonstrates, like, the, you know, the dire and ruthless nature of the enemy that they're facing. But that's like, wow, that they killed a kid. That's a little cool.
I know, you just don't see that in video games, and I think that's it. Like, you see it in movies sometimes, but even then it's kind of rare, you know. Tear jerkers, you know.
You saw Torchwood Children of Earth, right?
Yes. 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 Yeah, that was...
No.
Although, that was really ham-fisted, too, though.
Yeah, that was a bit forced.
Spoilers. Cover your ears right now if you haven't seen Series 3 of Torchwood.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to try to make it as unspoilery as possible, but a kid will die in that series. But and a lot of people went, whoa, major drama. But for me, that kid was only introduced an episode before and didn't really have any sway on the story other than being the sacrificial lamb.
Right. It was this huge moral dilemma. But
it was like, I thought it would have had a lot more impact if it had been like a character from right at the beginning, or, you know, had been previously established in a season before,
right,
or something. I know that sounds horrible, but like, I wanted to care more about the fact that the kid died. But yeah. I mean, of course, the fact that the kid died
is the worst part
in itself. Yeah. I felt the same way about the movie Pay It Forward. Sorry, spoilers again.
Oh man, right.
That sometimes deaths are put in just for the emotional impact and don't really add anything to, you know, to the story.
Yeah. Okay. Just like this Mass Effect. Yeah. Okay. I can think of a happier game that has children and babies and so forth.
Go for it. Yes.
You ever play The Sims?
I have a long time ago. Like not The Sims 2 or The Sims 3, but like the original The Sims, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I was heavy into The Sims, so I played the original. You can have children, you know, but it's less like how do I describe it? It's kind of like a wealth simulator. Like, you know, your character goes to work, they can get married and have kids, but the kid never becomes older than like a toddler or like a kindergarten age kid, Right. So when Sims 2 comes out, they decide, okay, we're going to have this whole life cycle thing. So your Sims can be born, they can grow into adulthood, go to college, whatever, have lives, get married, have their own kids, and then eventually die. So in a way, they've kind of turned them into like sea monkeys or something. I don't know, that, you know, can like walk and talk and whatever else. But like you can literally create like new Sims out of different characters you've made, and like see what their kids look like and everything, and have family trees and this whole genealogy that spans generations if you want to play it that way. And so I had this whole town like just populated with these people whose, like, you know, lives cross like this, and they have their own kids. Some have like split homes and whatever. It's crazy. So I've had a lot of practice raising children in The Sims 2.
Well, you'll be great then. You'll be great.
But you know,
I can just imagine you holding your son and going, "Where's the pause button?"
Yeah. Or like, you know, I'll see like the hunger icon go over his head and be like, "Oh, it's the bar is low." Yeah.
You know, they do speak Simlish for a while.
It's true. Oh man. But you know, again, here there could be a potential problems because your adult Sims, especially in the first game, can die in strange and horrible ways. It's a little funny because like death can come knocking and be all like, "Well, I'm taking this guy away," and you can like play like rock paper scissors against him to like convince him not to take your loved one. But more often than not, they're like dead, and you get like a little urn or a tombstone to place somewhere on your lot. So okay, they clearly don't want to cross certain boundaries, like, you know, there's no underage sex, for instance. And they're not going to kill children because your Sims can starve to death, but they're not going to let a child starve to death. So what happens, and this is kind of funny in that this actually does happen in real life, is that if you neglect your child long enough, child services will show up and take them all away.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So then you don't want to show a baby starved to death in your game. You know,
no, I mean, this is Train Spotting, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Anyway. This is why you don't see this that often. Like, the only thing I can think of where you can, like, put a baby in an action game and have a baby die and have a great emotional impact without it being horrifying is to make that baby not human, as in Super Metroid. Spoiler.
That one comes again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we did mention that last episode, didn't we?
I had a game on my old Apple II called Bouncing Babies.
Okay.
This, in retrospect, is horrible. There's a burning building, and they throw the babies out of the window.
Yeah,
and you play a group of firemen with a net, more of a trampoline actually.
What?
And you try to catch them as they come out of the window, but they'll bounce. So you got to move the trampoline where they bounce to next. It's okay. Like Circus Atari, kind of.
Okay.
But they'll bounce, you know, usually about 3 bounces until they get to, I don't know, the safety area on the other side of the screen.
Yep.
But if you don't, you know, I mean, they don't splatter, you know, it just says you're out. But, like, the concept is horrible.
Yeah, like, I guess the only good way to do this is to make the consequences a little silly and not dire.
There was also a game, Frogger with Babies.
Oh, dear. I can't even imagine.
Called Senseless Violence, made by Pangea Software, which you might know as they're a very popular Mac developer.
Ah.
They made like Bugdom and I don't know, NoSore, and I don't know. They make a lot of iPhone games now. That's pretty much what they do. They just make iPhone games. But back when they were an Apple II developer, they made this game, and it was just horrible. Kind of like, how far can we push boundaries? Yeah.
Oh boy.
Anything else?
Oh, okay. This has to do with because every time they mention different ways to like breastfeed a baby, or like just ways to like, you know, calm them or shush them, because obviously I've been embroiled in this for weeks now, just like going to classes and actually having practical experience. Is there's this one position called the football carry.
Okay.
if you're really small children, that's pretty effective. Like they're, if they're small enough anyway, you can just like hold them, like cradle them in your arm like that, in the crook of your arm. Every time I hear this or have to do it, I immediately think of Elite Beat Agents. If no one knows what I'm talking about, there's one of the first levels, maybe the first level.
It was the first. Yeah. Or one of the options for the first level,
especially like back when the game was new and it was just the demo that you could download. It's like this girl who's babysitting the kid, and she calls her boyfriend over, and it's like their job, you know, now, like, because the way Elite Beat Agents and Owen Don works is that you're, you know, tapping your stuff to the music, but there's this comic going on at the top, and like the better you do, you know, the happier things happen. So they're like trying to feed the kid, they're trying to change his diaper, all this stuff, you know, to make sure that the parents don't get mad while they're like smooching on the couch or whatever, trying to, to neglect this kid. And if you succeed in the diaper changing sequence, you know, this the boyfriend, who's like this football jock, like figures out, oh, babies like football, so like throws it at the girl and like into the new diaper, and it's like, ta-da, diaper's changed. It doesn't work that way. But it's silly, and the
please
consequences.
Please tell me you didn't learn this from personal experience.
No, I did not. Okay. But he is about the size of football, right? No.
Because it totally works.
No, it does not.
No, please. Oh, dear. There's the lawsuit. Okay.
If you guys want to know what this looks like, Phil Bond and I did a review and comparison of Elite Beat Agents versus Owen Don way back in 2007, which is nearly 5 years ago now. That's crazy.
They even have the internet back then?
It's almost like the 20th century, man. That's
he used
crazy.
A horse-drawn camera to film it.
Another excuse to go to the show notes and check out some of the video we have linked. Definitely.
So, I don't know. Like, I guess that's as much as I could think of babies in video games.
Yeah, we should probably ask our listeners for any comments, because, you know, like you mentioned, we got Babysitting Mama from a listener, so I wouldn't have known what it was really about if he hadn't have done that. So
yeah, exactly. And you know, the comments we get, have always been very helpful.
We wanted to do so many videos for you guys, like so many, and two of them, you know, the one that's upcoming, and then one of them involves the Super Nintendo, Super Famicom, as well. So that's two of them out of the whole bunch that we're doing. But one of those also includes the mentioning of the copy protection scheme on the Super Nintendo compared to you can play Super Famicom carts in the Super Nintendo. Whoa, right? Not new news, but it has to do with the copy protection scheme and how that worked in America versus Europe, etc. So that's the kind of thing we want to bring to you guys in the future that we've just been sitting on for a while.
you do that one in your panels at conventions, though, don't you?
Yeah. So, if anyone's been like places like Anime Milwaukee, which just happened this last weekend, No Brand Con, Daisho Con, Geek Con, basically it's conventions in Madison. I do a Famicom Dojo panel, and there are a bunch of videos that kind of spread up around that. The raw versions of those are on my Some Orange Guy channel, where it's like, oh, I gotta put them somewhere. They don't belong with the rest of the Famicom Dojo stuff. But so we got like stuff like the Minus World. I show how to like do that trick in a rather humorous way, if I say so myself. some of the stuff you can do with the GameCube menu. But it's been about a year now I've been doing that. And it gave us an idea for some new videos that we can do. So like part of this new slate of videos we want to do for you guys kind of comes out of specifically the things I was doing for this convention, but also like, you know, new stuff that we hadn't really explored before. And I'm finding out new things all the time, like exploring the different aspects of what the Minus World can do. Because did you guys know the Famicom Disk System version has different Minus Worlds?
I knew. Three of them, right?
Three of them. So I actually got a copy while we were in Japan for Tokyo Game Show and like tested it out. And sure enough, it's true. So we want to share that with you guys and explain how to, you know, get there yourself, why it works, and everything like that. So that's the kind of things that we want to do, branch out Famicom Dojo into these different areas, more about, you know, tips and tricks, specific games, instead of just like hardware stuff and bad jokes with talking consoles. We'll still do those too, but
yay.
Yeah. The light gun story is pretty interesting too. We mentioned that a few times this episode. Which we should totally get into that because, sorry, the history behind how that works is fascinating. It involves wild gunmen. So.
Oh, wild gunmen. That's like a baby's toy.
Yeah, the version you see in, as you mentioned, during like the movies based on video games or video
and
games
every
based on
other
movie.
Episode.
Yeah. The version that Marty plays in 2015 is a fictional version of Wild Gunman. They never had a version like that in arcades, but there was a Wild Gunman arcade game.
Yes, so there was. Actually, there was, and it's based off a. Off an older amusement machine that was not a video game.
What? That? Okay, that I didn't even know.
Yeah, it was like a physical thing, like in arcades before, you know, when arcades were mainly like pinball and other amusements. Maybe I should save that for later.
Yeah, right? Okay, yeah, so that's what we want to do for you guys in the future. We'll see how that goes, given our new status. And potential lack of time to get it done, but we're aiming for some awesome fun times this year, as well as getting some new stuff out the door. So I hope you guys keep watching. As a result of that, though, we are going to do something a little different with the podcast, and there may be. I know. Wait for it. We've never missed an episode, but as a result of things changing a little bit and needing time to get these new videos out, we are going to try and do some reruns from time to time. Yeah, I know. It's a little sad. You can cry if you want to. We'll insert Baby Mario here. I don't know. but we'll try to keep it a little fresh. Maybe add some stuff to the beginning or whatever to.
This would be director's cuts.
Exactly. So anything that like references stuff from the past that doesn't make sense, time sensitive anymore, we might change out. So we're not quite at this American life of video game podcasts yet, but we're trying.
Not yet. But so, yeah. we have a lot of stuff that we recorded for when I worked for Four Color Rebellion and
yes.
things like that. So
yes.
we'll be providing some. If I haven't watched it, it's new for me type of content.
Yes, exactly. Perfect. So, yeah, those things were recorded, some of them, like, wow, 6 years ago?
Yeah.
Ooh. But, yeah, good stuff. So we have a few of those in the show notes on the FamicomDojo.tv website as audio bonuses. So if you haven't heard those yet, we got one about the Pokemon Days of Summer. And two more that I can't remember at the top of my head, but Why Poop is Funny. And please check those out because they're fantastic stories, and we'll just keep adding them if you guys keep listening to them. So
you should listen to those because poop's gonna be a major part of your life for the next couple of months.
I know. I already know. So, yeah, I guess that's it for this week, though. So thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks for being patient last week. This one should come out on time. We'll see. And
send your Sean's not endorsing this, but I'm going to. Send your congratulation messages to him in our comments this week.
Oh, boy.
Because, you know, this is a pretty big thing. And
so I guess if you really must leave congratulations, feel free to leave those comments undiscussed in our show notes at FamicomDojo.tv or PowitTV. There's always Twitter, Famicom Dojo, Facebook, Famicom Dojo, as well as our iTunes, free iTunes storefront where you may leave comments and rate the podcast and let others know what you think so that others can listen to it and be intrigued. Did I leave anything out? I'm not really sure.
And if you want to help Sean be able to afford those diapers, yeah. we do have a DVD for sale.
Yes, it's true. Yep. Again, at the website, famicomdojo.tv, and you can get it for the low price of, I think, $9.95 right now. We ended the sale we had going for a bit, but I'm sure there's always a good reason to buy one.
buying one DVD keeps Mini Sean in diapers.
Is that how that works? Not, yeah.
I don't know. We're looking at it last time.
Oh dear. All right, kids. Until next week.
Famicom Dojo.